to the Asylum. And now, your hosts, Rick Flieger and Rick Riggs.
That's right, live at AsylumFantasySports.com, the Real Fan Sports Network at RFSN.radio.com. It's the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show.
I'm glad you're done spitting that out.
Hooey, I say.
We are Flieger and Briggs. Welcome to the Asylum, and this is show 207.
207, the march to 300.
We should be at about, what, 210 at season start, and then we start going the inside slant on Sunday mornings live, taking all your calls and all your questions from the mailbag as well. So we've got a lot to cover right now because we got to get through some of the divisions and all kinds of rankings and everything before the season even starts.
That's right. Business is fixing to pick up. Sorry for 24 hours late on the show, Rick. I was away on another fabulous vacation to our nation's capital. Do me a favor.
That's an oxymoron.
If I ever say to you again, hey, Rick, I'm going down to Washington, D.C., punch me square in the throat.
No, I'm going to let you get down there, and I'm laughing the whole time you'll be gone.
Now, this may surprise you, Rick, as basically anything that's old, including you, I can't much stand. However, I'm interested in American history. I really am. And some of the sites were worth seeing. But what I need is a helicopter to drop me in there, on off hours, and then pick me up and take me back out.
Well, the thing is, history to you is from 1998 till now.
Well, because 1998 was a good year. Yeah. I remember that one. A lot happened then.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. Anyway, I personally really like history. I'm a history buff. And actually, a few years ago, we actually went to nation's capital the Daughters of the Confederacy. They had a big thing. There's actually some of the ones still surviving, I don't know, some sort of relative. Anyway, it was in the nation's capital, and we got tour around. That's really cool.
Yeah.
You go there, and you see where Thomas Jefferson actually sat.
Right,
Ben
right.
Franklin actually paced back and forth. That's cool stuff.
And that's what I like. The tour of Ford's Theater was the highlight for me. To be there, the history you think about, and then across the street, the house they took him to after he was shot and that he ultimately died. And, that was interesting to me. What's not interesting to me is people taking pictures and just all the nonsense. It was terrible. And people stink. That's what it boils down to. And there's too many of them. So when you get a lot of people reflective of the fact that people suck, then the trip thus sucks. You can't help it. So just don't let me do that again is all I ask.
Okay. But anyway, in a few minutes, we're going to have a special guest coming in.
Very special guest.
Yeah, we've known him for a while. It must have been about 3-4 years
and
now.
And now he's a mogul, a sports radio mogul.
Yes, so. Nick Ficarelli from, you'll know him on Blog Talk.
All over it. Sports Chronicles Radio Network. Just take up 24 shows, Rick.
Something like that, right?
We'll ask Nick about that. He's going to be on here shortly. I think, Rick, we had a question in on the tweeters here right before we went on air. I thought it might be interesting to cover before we get Nick in here.
Yeah, that'd be good. You want to cover that right now?
Oh, well, I was hoping you had it up.
I will pull it up right now.
All right, I'll pad in the meantime. That's what they call in the business, padding, is Rick. I believe this young man has the number 8 pick. I don't know if he's young, but this man has the number 8 pick in his draft. A question interesting to me as a guy who has a number 7 pick in every draft I'm in this year, every stinking one, I'm not kidding you, I picked nowhere but 7th, so 8th is close enough. I like to look at this.
Well, I actually have, in our League of Consequence, I am pick number 8, and this guy's in a keeper league, and he's pick number 8, wants to go running back.
Wise move.
And he's wanting to know who he suggests. Is it Monty Ball?
Okay.
Arian Foster? DeMarco Murray, Zach Stacy, Mr. Morris, Gio Bernard, Le'Veon Bell. Okay, Alfred Morris is out.
Yeah, you can have him at that pick coming back in the second
round.
Most
likely.
If you still want Alfred Morris.
I think if I'm going that high in a draft, DeMarco Murray's out.
Okay.
I tell you what, I'm starting to believe in that Denver offense with Monty Ball, and I really like Gio Bernard, and I really like Le'Veon Bell and Zach Stacy.
Okay, so that's who it comes down. for you.
Yeah. I mean, Foster start, you know, I had him preliminarily fairly high, but he's starting to drop. He's dropped from 6 to 9 as far as running backs for me right now. And, you know, I tell you what, I think right now at this minute, if I had to pick somebody, it would be Gio Bernard.
Okay, that's interesting. I like that pick. My only concern with it, Rick, I think from a player standpoint, I agree. I think you can have Gio Bernard coming back in the second round.
I don't.
In that spot. In most of the mocks I'm doing, him, Bell, and Stacy are going 3 in a row right in the middle of that second round. That's where they're following. So knowing this is a keeper league, I don't know who's being kept. Let's assume, you know,
a good point as well.
Most of the big players are out there. If I'm targeting Bernard or Bell or Stacy, one of those three, I might be more apt to go with a wide receiver there at the 8th pick. I'm pretty certain one of those three is going to be there when I come back. For me, Rick, though, let's answer the question. He wants to go running back, and he wants it to be one of these guys. For me, looking in the first round, what I'm looking at more than anything else is where is the least question marks. You know, all these guys have question marks. Who am I most comfortable with? Because it's tough to recover if you get it wrong with your first pick. Arian Foster scares me to death. He's got all these injuries all the time. That's his bit, and it makes me nervous. Now, I don't know how much it means, but it's something that sticks in the back of my head, him talking last week or the week before about him being near retirement last year when he hurt that back. That tells me that back injury was more serious, I think, than we even gave it credit for. I honestly believe that. So he's out. DeMarco Murray, you know, I love Murray, but not at that pick. That's a high pick for DeMarco Murray. I think you can get better value. You know, Stacy Morris, Bernard Bell, I can get one of those guys at that pick in the second round, Rick. So that leaves me with Monty Ball. I know we're dealing with that appendectomy. You know, looking, he's going to miss the rest of camp, should be good to go for week one. We saw Ben Roethlisberger come back from it, maybe a little weak for a week or two until he gets back, gets his legs back underneath him. The upside, the most upside is with Monty Ball. I think Le'Veon Bell may end up having the best year out of all these guys. But again, I think you can get him coming back. That's the 4th pick in the second round. If the mocks hold true today, you're going to get him, Bernard, or Stacy in that second round. So my first recommendation would be take one of those three and go receiver in the first round. Get you a Dez Bryant, get you a Demaryius Thomas, whoever's hanging around, an A.J. Green, whoever's hanging around there at the bottom of the first round. Come back and get one of those other guys if they're all being kept, if it's wide receivers being kept, which it may be, because that's a pretty good list in a keeper league.
Now, it is keeper league, but, you know, one thing we failed to mention is as well as the, you know, the questionnaire, he didn't say if it was PPR or standard. Which puts a whole new spin on it when you're talking Bernard as opposed to like a Morris.
Fair
and
point.
So forth. But I'm just looking at, you know, my fantasy league. I'm looking at ADPs after drafts held after August 1st, and it's interesting. 2-1, DeMarco Murray. 2-2, Monty Ball. 2-3, Gio Bernard. 2-5. Le'Veon Bell.
So there those guys are.
They are right there. Yeah, but, I mean, you're right at the beginning of the second round. Consequently, if you don't take one of them, you're probably not going to get them coming back. You might get one of them coming back. It's very possible. But, you know, other than that, Arian Foster's dropped down to the 3rd round.
Right, yeah.
And I'm not saying that he may not be good value somewhere in the 3rd round.
Oh, yeah.
He stays healthy.
Third round.
Yeah, but, yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. I like Bernard. I really like Ball. He's really ticked up a lot. And I like Le'Veon Bell. I like what I saw in that first preseason game. That I know that doesn't translate into the regular season, but I've been touting that Pittsburgh offense all preseason. I think you're going to score a boatload of points. I love Le'Veon Bell and LeGarrette Blount running game. And the receivers, I don't think they're going to miss Manny Sanders or Jerick O'Kotre all that much.
No, they'll make it work with who they have. Antonio Brown's a superstar. He's a top 10 fantasy wide receiver. And so it will begin and end through him. Heath Miller got a year under his belt. He's healthy. Their running game's going to be solid. So here's my answer. It's going to be a two-part answer. To just answer the question at hand, Rick, it's Monty Ball for me. Done.
Fair enough.
Questions. If you want to think a little more about it, if there's wide receivers on the board, look at an A.J. Green, look at a Dez Bryant, look at a Julio Jones there at 8, and I think you're going to get one of these guys coming back. I'm equally confident in Bernard, Bell, and Stacy. It's probably in that order for me, Bernard, Bell, Stacy. I think you can get one of those guys rolling back down, and definitely you can get Alfred Morris if this is a guy he's considering. So that would be my recommendation if the wide receivers are out there. If they're not, the answer is Monty Ball.
Okay. I mean, I think Monty Ball to me is a very close second. I might edge him out with Gio Bernard, but, you know, flip a coin to either one of them. I don't think you go wrong either way.
All right, Rick. Well, on the line, we have our guest today, the mad scientist, I believe you have dubbed him,
asylum. He is the mad scientist, and you know him. He's show in the laboratory, and you know, we've known him about 3-4 years now. We haven't talked to him for a while. I had the pleasure of being on his show in the laboratory last weekend, and we just thought it would be interesting if the mad scientist finally left his lab and joined the asylum for a while. Nick, how you doing?
You know, when the asylum invited the mad scientist, I was thinking to myself, wow, this could be a very dangerous proposition, but how could I ever say no to Mr. Flieger and Mr. Briggs? Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
We are wonderful. It's been long time since we went back in the archives talking. Rick was talking back and forth to Road Warrior Dave Cherney on Twitter that the last time you were in the asylum was way back in show 48, I believe it was. I mean, that's a good long time ago.
Yeah, it was, and was wondering what took so long to finally get back in. I guess my first impression wasn't that great. No, I'm joking.
It's just one of those things. You start getting busy, and people go a little bit different paths, but sooner or later, you know, we just have to join back up and start talking a little fantasy football.
Absolutely. So the tables are turned now, I guess. I guess you guys are going to be asking me the questions instead of me doing to you, so this should be fun.
Yeah, we'll flip it. I mean, it's always interesting. I know when we go on other shows, you get so used to asking the questions, you have a hard time. So before we do that, here's the first question. Why don't you tell everybody what you're up to, what you have going on now that you are a sports radio mogul? You'll probably be able to speak to it a lot better than we can.
Well, as everybody knows, I'm still the president and co-founder of the Sports Chronicles Radio Network. However, we expanded our horizons a little bit. And we merged with the National Gridiron Network as well as the Op Nation, and we have formed an entity called NGC Sports LLC. Overall, we have 25 shows over 7 days, 13 on my network, 12 on the NGN network, and basically, you know, it's been a lot of fun. Been draining, don't get me wrong, but you know, we've got to bigger and better things, and hopefully down the road, you know, we'll just keep growing, expanding, and who knows where we'll take us in 2015 and beyond.
Certainly to great places, there's no question about that. So Nick, let's spin it around fantasy football. We're looking at the NFC North, the NFC East. I want to start with the NFC North. I think it is, boy, it ain't your daddy's NFC North anymore. This looks like an air show to me, top to bottom, save for maybe Minnesota, and we'll get to them later. But, boy, some great quarterback play, some very dynamic players in a division that's known for grinded out and for bad weather, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, this is not the NFC North division of years past. This is not your daddy's time when you had Walter Payton and Barry Sanders, Billy Sims, God, you name it. You know, I'll even go back as far as Jim Taylor with the Green Bay Packers, and now it's like you're looking at possibly 3 out of 4 teams that can throw for 5,000 yards, you know, during a season. And if there's a division where you can say it's stacked wide receiver wise, this is the division to go after. I mean, you look at the Detroit Lions, need I say more, with Megatron. Chicago, you got the two-headed monster with Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey. Green Bay, you got Jordy Nelson, and when healthy, you got Cobb. And even Minnesota, I mean, you still got Greg Jennings and the up-and-coming Cordarrelle Patterson. So it's not like, you know, it's almost like, you know, it's a nice buffet. It's like you're going to, it's like you're going to CeCe's Pizzeria and you're spending $5, and if you need a wide receiver, you can have it.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And, you know, we were talking just before you came on the air, and I happened to have, you know, my fantasy league's ADPs up on drafts picked after August 1st. And 12-team leagues, we have, you know, Calvin Johnson at 1-3, Adrian Peterson 1-4, Matt Forte 1-5. We have Eddie Lacy at 1-8, and we have Brandon Marshall at 1-12. That's five guys from the NFC North in the top 12 picks. That's five first-rounders out of eight division coming out of that one. That says a lot right there.
Yeah, it does. I mean, if you if you look at the, you know, I'm going to start with the Chicago Bears. If you look at the, you know, if you just look at the Bears, I mean, you got Jay Cutler. If he were to just stay healthy for a full season like he did, you know, back in Denver, this is a guy that will break every single season record that the Chicago Bears have to offer. The amount of weaponry that he has is insane. I mean, you're talking about, right off the bat, you have Matt Forte, who I am going to say this right now, I think is like the 1C in running backs, because obviously you got to talk about AP, Jamal Charles, and LeSean McCoy, 1A, 1B. If you're going to talk 1C, you're talking about Matt Forte. This is a guy that will run for 1,500 yards and probably catch for 1,000 yards. I'm looking at Matt Forte this year as possibly threatening the record of Marshall Faulk to break that record of combined rushing and receiving yards of 2,429. If there's a guy that can do it, it's him. And when you have wings in Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey, it's almost like a defensive coordinator right now is breaking out into a cold sweat, like, oh, my God, who do I bracket and who's going to kill us? And then you don't forget, you have the head case at tight end in Bennett. I mean, here's a guy that can average 60 catches for 800, 900 yards and like 5 to 7 touchdowns. That offensive line, a lot of people came in last year maligning them, you know, thinking that, you know, Cutler's going to get killed again. They came, you know, they came pretty well together last year. And now that they're all together for another season, if they stay healthy and if Cutler can keep himself upright, I'm telling you guys, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if this team breaks 500 points.
Right, and I agree with you 100% when it comes to the Bears. I have Matt Forte at 1A. I think it's that simple. If he stays healthy, if Jay Cutler stays healthy, he's going to catch for 1,000 yards, plus whatever he gets in the rushing game. My one concern with the Bears, and with Jay Cutler, I don't want to say it's with Jay Cutler. However, you have these three dynamic weapons, all three going in the first, I want to say, 18 picks, Rick, conservatively. Is there enough to go around? If Matt Forte is going to catch 85 balls, 90 balls, what you suspect, the chemistry Brandon Marshall has, the emergence of Alshon Jeffrey, can they all live up to it? I'm thinking specifically both these wide receivers and maybe specifically to Alshon Jeffrey. Is there enough to go around? Can Alshon Jeffrey put up the numbers that's justifying that mid-second round pick that he's getting after Marshall and Forte are going in the first round?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I would say yes, because I'm going to bring you a perfect example of how to spread the ball correctly and have an insane offense. Look no further than last year's Denver Broncos. You had Peyton Manning as your quarterback. Now, I'm not comparing Jay Cutler to Peyton Manning by any stretch of the imagination. I may be the mad scientist, but I'm not plain mad or psycho. Boy, I'm in the asylum. That doesn't make any sense. Anyway, as I was saying,
you can be
as I was saying, you know, you look at what the weaponry that Manning had. You had Demaryius Thomas, you had Wes Welker, you had Julius Thomas, Eric Decker, and in the backfield you had Noshon Marino and Monty Ball. And somehow, some way, he spread the ball where four guys got over 1,000 yards, and three of them had over 10 touchdowns. This is the type of offense that you could just sit there and look at it on paper and say, why not Chicago? There's going to be a time where Brandon Marshall is going to get bracketed by a defense, and they'll take their chances on Cutler trying to find Alshon Jeffrey. It's going to happen. I'm telling you. It's going to happen with Matt Forte as well, because Matt Forte not only can run between the tackles, but you stretch him out in the slot or even stretch him out wide, there's a matchup nightmare just waiting to happen. So I could see, really, that I could see Matt Forte getting 1,000 yards receiving. Bennett, the odd man out to me is going to be Bennett. I mean, it's not going to be that bad for him. It's just that when you have Jeffrey, Forte, and Marshall, someone's got to get the scraps in the red zone. So you look at Bennett, and you're like, you know, there might be double-digit touchdowns there. He might not get the yards, but you can look at the receptions and the touchdowns and go, hey, this might work.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir, and there's no question about that with Chicago. You talk about Peyton Manning. He had just a great year last year. There's no question about that. And you brought up all the weapons that they have. You know, Peyton Manning had 5,477 yards last year. And no, Cutler may not be another Peyton Manning, but if you combine what Cutler and McCollum did last year when Cutler went down, they were at about 4,600 yards passing. And, yeah, there's plenty of weapons in Chicago to go around. You got Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey, in their own right as far as, like, fantasy scoring. They're right up there in the top 20 in fantasy scoring. Matt Forte, 1,339 yards in 74 catches last year. He was the number three scoring running back. I mean, it is just a plethora of weapons, and I think Cutler arguably really has the strongest arm, maybe not the most accurate one in the league, but he's certainly not going to get tired throwing to these guys. Now, before we go on to anything else, it's very hard. This is one division we're talking about, just so many weapons, and we're talking all the positives. Is there anybody that you can think on any of the four teams, Nick, that maybe will be overdrafted or is a potential bust coming out of this division that, you know, just reeks offense and fantasy points?
Randall Cobb. And the reason why is because, A, I don't think he can stay healthy, and B, watch out for Devontae Adams. If there's a guy that you want to speak, that screams sleeper, that screams talent, and that screams, I'm going to take some catches away from a bunch of people, it's going to be Devontae Adams on Green Bay. I am not sold on Randall Cobb. I've never been sold on Randall Cobb. Last year, I thought he got drafted way too high in many of the drafts, and a lot of people got snake bit because of it. Meanwhile, you had Jordy Nelson go in middle to late rounds. I picked Jordy Nelson in a mid round, and he had ended up having a career year. I just feel that Devontae Adams is going to take a lot of catches away from Randall Cobb, and a lot of people are still going to look at Randall Cobb's name and overdraft him to the point of no return. And again, people will be disappointed on it.
I agree 100%. I don't think this bodes well for you, Nick. I have agreed with everything you've said to this point. Randall Cobb is a guy. This is going to be the third year in a row he has been dramatically overdrafted. I don't know what everyone's seen that I'm missing. I understand Aaron Rodgers is his quarterback. I understand what they can do offensively. Randall Cobb, other than short bursts, and when I say short bursts, I mean a game or two here and there, has shown nothing. He hasn't shown the ability to stay healthy and stay on the field. And when he is healthy and on the field, I believe he's underperformed. I've never been the biggest Jordy Nelson fan, but I think he's going to be that number one target. And I also believe we'll just stick with the Packers here. A lot's going to run through Eddie Lacy. This is a guy I have as a top five back. I believe I have him at number five right now. I think Eddie Lacy's going to see plenty of action. I think Jordy Nelson's going to be the first target. Whoever ends up, whatever the tight end position ends up shaking out, is going to get those red zone targets. I think Randall Cobb's going to be the odd man out.
I'm not convinced he's the odd man out. I do agree with everything you say about him staying healthy, and I do like Adams. I'll tell you, a guy with Jordy Nelson had a great year last year. He had 85 catches. he's experiencing some hamstring problems in training camp right now. That worries me a bit with him. Cobb, I understand that, but, you know, he played 15 games in 2011, 15 games in 2012. He had that injury-plagued year last year. I mean, I think sometimes, you know, fantasy owners tend to think, you know, that they're injury-prone. And he may be. I'm not convinced that he is from 1 year. I mean, it's not like he's missed a ton of games 3 years in a row like Darren McFadden. But anyway.
Please don't mention that name ever again. Please.
Okay, that's why we're sticking with the NFC. I'm sorry, Nick. I don't want you. You're in the asylum, so you're in the right place. We're okay. But, you know, I think he may get overdrafted because of the Aaron Rodgers thing and the Packers and so forth a bit. But I'm not writing him off yet. I mean, that 1 year with an injury, I'm not going to say, okay, he's injury prone. He hasn't showed me anything yet.
Well, another guy that, well, there is one more guy that I would say stay away from that's going to be overdrafted to the point of no return, and that's one Golden Tate in Detroit. I'm sorry, but, you know, I know the opposite wide receiver is going to be Calvin Johnson, but this is a guy who's pretty much been a one-man gang for quite some time now. Detroit signed Golden Tate to that contract thinking, you know, he's going to put up, like, you know, 75 receptions for 1,000 yards and maybe, like, 7 or 8 touchdowns and stuff like that. I would say tread lightly with Golden Tate, and the only reason why I say that is because I want to see him be the guy on Detroit to take some pressure off Calvin Johnson. When you play for the Seattle Seahawks, you know, that's a rise and grind team with Marshawn Lynch, you know, take some shots down the field here and there. But it looked as the season went on that Curse and Baldwin were taking catches away from Golden Tate. I'm saying tread very lightly with him as well.
I have to agree with you 100% on that one. There's no question that neither one of us, and that makes three now, are very high on Golden Tate. Like, everybody's, oh, this is the perfect match, you know, taking the heat off of Calvin Johnson and so forth. I'm not buying he's going to be taking heat off Calvin Johnson when he's losing catches to Doug Baldwin up in Seattle. And, you know, I mean, Nate Burleson was actually fairly adequate. He couldn't stay healthy all that much. And I don't think he's much of an upgrade over Burleson, quite frankly.
Well, and look at it. You bring up Burleson. When you talk about being the opposite of Calvin Johnson, in Calvin Johnson's career, that hasn't proven to be a place you need to be, a place where you're going to have fantasy success, because if Calvin Johnson's drawn three-man coverage, they're going to throw it to him anyhow, and he's going to make the catch. Who's that kid that loves to go to prison? Titus Young. Nothing ever come out of him. There was another guy before that I can't remember. I can't remember these second receivers on the Detroit offense. Let's stick in Detroit while we're there. A guy I'm higher on than a lot. I have, I believe, 13, 14 Nick, is Reggie Bush in a PPR format. Obviously, you have health concerns, but I think we've said that about everybody so far, so I'm kind of sweeping that under the rug a little bit. I think that's the compliment to Calvin Johnson. I think Joyke Bell has some value there, but I think Reggie Bush, if he can stay on the field in a PPR format, is set up to have a monster year this year in what's probably going to be a 5,000-yard passing offense.
You mentioned earlier that you had Eddie Lacy ranked as your fifth running back. Well, guess what, gents? Reggie Bush is my fifth ranked running back. This is screaming another 1,000 season. Reggie Bush, remember, when he came out and when he was a rookie on the New Orleans Saints, he had 88 catches for like 800 and some odd yards, and that was with Drew Brees throwing him the ball. He did not run the ball that much. So his legs for a running back are a little bit younger than others in the NFL. You look at that offensive line, you're led by Dominic Raiola, who's a rock at center. Very underrated offensive line with Rice, Simmons, Warford, and Waddle. I got to tell you guys, I'm looking at 1,300 yards, probably around 900 yards. The only thing I don't like about Reggie Bush is that you have Joakim Bell there, and there's going to be some of your touchdowns going by the wayside. And also, let's not forget Michael LeSueur, who a couple of years ago, before injuries wrecked him in 2012, he was the goal line back for these Detroit Lions. So if there's a little bit of a drawback, it's touchdowns. But if you're in a PPR league, oh boy, Reggie Bush is going to be insane.
Yeah, Reggie Bush is a premium back going into PPR formats. And you mentioned Joik Bell. That is one thing that does bring Bush down just a tad. I mean, he had, 223 rushes for Bush last year to 166 for Bell. They both had virtually the same in receiving, 54 catches for Bush, 53 for Bell. And, when you can spread it out that way and keep both backs fresh, sometimes that can be a hindrance when it's a fantasy thing. But even at that, they both were just awesome backs. And, I mean, they had, 1,500 yards, total yards for Bush and about 12 or 13 for Bell. That's a lot of production out of two guys. And they're not even, when they're splitting it so evenly, that's a lot of production.
Yeah, and the thing about Bell, though, is that, he's the type of runner that'll go, between the tackles and get those hard yards. So I'm looking at it like this. Last year you mentioned the amount of carries. I think it's going to tend to sway a little bit more now towards Reggie Bush. You're probably going to look at 250 to 300 with Joik Bell getting about 100 carries and a few touches receiving. But I think the most, at the optimum, you have to keep Reggie Bush on the field at least 75 to 80% of the snaps.
Yeah, I agree 100%. He's a dynamic player, and you always worry about his ability to hold up. He hasn't done it for complete seasons yet. Let's look at Matt Stafford before we hop off the Lions here. Obviously, from a yardage standpoint, from a touchdown standpoint, this guy is a top five fantasy quarterback, and that's where he's being drafted. My concern is the interceptions. 19 interceptions last year. If you're losing points for interceptions, which in most formats you are, you wonder, does he justify that top five quarterback status? You're talking, top four rounds. I think there's guys later on, your Matt Ryans, your Phil Rivers, who you can get close to equal production out of and maybe turn the ball over a little less.
Well, I got to be honest with you. Matt Stafford, to me, he's like that guy he's like the double-edged sword. The potential for greatness is there. This is a guy who a couple of years ago threw for 5,000 yards, very quietly threw 5,000 yards. But everybody remembers him for having some major meltdowns during a football game in which you throw a lot of picks. Now, I would pick Matthew Stafford between rounds 5 through 8, and he will go in that cluster that you mentioned with the Matt Ryans, the Philip Rivers, the Joe Flaccos, like that, because of the turnover rate, the turnover factor. But if he ever screws his head on right, look out. I would not be surprised if you see another 5,000-yard season, and if he keeps his interceptions to a minimum, say between 10 to 12 for the season, that points per game will go up by at least 5 to 7 points.
Yeah, and that's the knock that I have on Stafford. And you look back at his 5-year career, not counting 2010 when he was out. He only played like the 2.5 games, whatever it was. 2009, 20 picks. 2011, 16. 2012, 17. 2013, 19. He cannot stay away from that. Like you said, if he ever can do that, he's going to vault into the elite status. But I'll tell you what, he gives me a little bit of pause when he's going, much earlier than some of these other players, like, a Tony Romo. He usually goes before Romo, before Roethlisberger, somebody like that. And, I have him ranked up in my top five right now. But this is still a concern to me. He's only had the 141 touchdown year, and he had 29 last year. He had 20 the year before, and that's been it. And I'm just hoping that this isn't one of these peak years, and he goes 3 or 4 years at 25 and 16 picks or something like that before you have another monster year out of him?
Well, the overriding factor in all of this for me is, no offense, Jim Schwartz is probably one of the worst head coaches that I've ever seen in quite some time. And
I agree.
Could not rein in the issues that the Detroit Lions have. You now have Jim Caldwell as your head coach. Now, remember, this is the guy who was the quarterback coach for quite some time in Indianapolis to Peyton Manning. Now, Peyton Manning's name is going to be thrown out a lot. We understand that. If he can rein in Matthew Stafford to the point where he can keep him under control, whereas Jim Schwartz let him have the run of the mill, those interception numbers will go down. Jim Caldwell, I think, is the type of guy that will get through into Matthew Stafford's brain, and we will see that interception number go down this year.
Well, I certainly hope so. So let's jump to Minnesota so we can get to the East before we run out of time here. I think Adrian Peterson. Not sure there's a lot of fantasy value outside of a dynasty league in the quarterback question. When I think about the Minnesota Vikings from a fantasy standpoint, Nick, it comes down to Cordell Patterson for me right now. This guy, boy, he's just sort of drafted all over the place. I see him going too high. I see him going at a value. Like the dynamic nature that he brings to that offense. However, yeah, I still have some concerns. You know, Percy Harvin made that style of wide receiver work in short bursts, but nothing long term. You know, Cordell Patterson is a guy, he's very intriguing, and you might regret not drafting him, but a guy I'm not 100% sold on quite yet.
You know, last year, Minnesota Viking fans were up in arms because they lost their playmaker in Percy Harvin. I was one of the very few Viking fans that was like, I'm not worried about it. We don't have time for a bitchy diva that, you know, throws a tantrum and decides, oh, I have a migraine and I'm going to sit out. The reason why is because of Cordarrelle Patterson. We saw in brief spurts last year what he can do when he touches the ball. He did the exact same thing as Percy Harvin. He touches the ball, everybody holds their collective breath because they know something good is going to happen. This is only year two for him. We have to understand, when you're a player in the NFL, it usually takes about 3 years to finally catch up to speed playing this game in the NFL. I look at him this year and I'm like, his numbers are going to improve, but they're not going to improve to the point where you think you're going to get him in the upper rounds. This is a guy you want to take a flyer on in the middle to lower rounds and look for, say, 55 to 60 catches, about 900 to 1,000 yards and double-digit touchdowns. And if there's one person you could compare him to, it's Marvin Jones in Cincinnati. Look what Marvin Jones did last year in limited time. Don't be surprised if Cordarrelle Patterson does that as well in limited time. The numbers may not be eye-popping. The numbers may not be eye-popping, but he can be very productive.
Yeah, we're going to play a little quiz game here, and I'll tell you why here in just a minute. Okay, if you're drafting right now, okay, say PPR format, Cordell Patterson or Reggie Bush, who do you take?
This is a trick question?
No.
I'm not joking when I say that. I'm like, because I'm starting to think about it, I'm like, if some people would come out and say, no-brainer, I would take Reggie Bush. But
okay,
I'm not so sure about that. And the reason why is because I think PPR-wise, Cordarrelle Patterson, if played out for a whole season, kind of sort of matches Reggie Bush.
Okay, we'll keep going. Patterson or Vincent Jackson?
I would say Vincent Jackson.
Okay. Larry Fitzgerald?
Cordarrelle Patterson.
Roddy White?
Cordarrelle Patterson.
Okay. The reason I'm asking that, because right now, like Rick brought up, he's all over the place. Right now in the most recent ADPs that I'm just pulling up here, he's actually ahead of all those guys. And yeah, that brings to me, like, what you were saying, again, look for him in the middle rounds. I don't know if you can look for him in the middle rounds because he right now he may not be there. And he's going right now at 401. You know, and they actually have Bush behind him, along with Vincent Jackson, Larry Fitzgerald, like I said, Roddy White, and a few others. And so I think a lot of people are starting to hop on the Cordell Patterson bandwagon, even though the quarterback position is in such a flux right now in Minnesota.
Let me tell you something about the quarterback position in Minnesota right now. It's very, very easy. Matt Cassel will be your starter and will start the whole season, and I'll tell you why. Different head coach. Once again, last year you had Leslie Frazier, who botched the quarterback position so bad, my three-year-old probably could have started for that team because nobody had confidence in whoever was out there. This year we have Mike Zimmer. Mike Zimmer is going to go with one guy and one guy only. There's going to be no pressure on him to throw Teddy Bridgewater to the Lions, and I'll tell you why. Mike Zimmer is as old school as you could possibly come. He will let Teddy Bridgewater sit on the bench and learn the correct way. He will let him learn. He's not going to throw him out there and all of a sudden destroy kids' confidence, which is what a lot of coaches have been doing when you're a first-round pick coming out of college. They either make you the savior, or they make you a bust before it even begins. Matt Cassel will be the quarterback this year. Matt Cassel will throw for 4,000 yards. Matt Cassel will throw about for 22 touchdowns. And when you have Adrian Peterson as your starting running back, you don't have to use your arm to win the game day in, day out. If there's something against the grain in the NFC North, it will be the Minnesota Vikings. They will be the fourth best team passing-wise, receiving-wise, whatever it may be. Mike Zimmer will win the game the old-fashioned way. Ground, pound, dink, dump, and then beat you with the long ball when you can cry and say uncle.
All right, so it's a bold predictions there. A Matt Cassel, a 4,000-yard quarterback. That's a mad scientist move there. So
I don't think that's all that far-fetched, quite frankly, either. And, I mean, you know, they're going to have to throw the ball. They're going to have to score a ton of points in that division. Look, they got six games against three of the most potent offenses in the league. And I don't disagree with that necessarily at all.
All right, well, let's jump over to the NFC East, and let's start with the New York Giants. I think probably the most enigmatic, if I can say that word correctly, team. Eli Manning, you never know what you're going to get with him. So many weapons in the passing game. Nick, I think the first thing, you know, you have to look at Eli Manning, just coming off a disastrous season. Can he bounce back? And I think then that leads into the questions. Then we'll probably discuss Victor Cruz after that.
Sell, stay away. Big red X. Don't go there. Don't even think about it. Just walk away. Walk away very slowly. And the reason why is this. He's moving into a brand new offense after his whole career with Kevin Gilbride. Sometimes you can't teach an old dog new tricks. This is the type of passing game in which you can see it on Eli Manning's face. He's confused. He's very confused out there right now. This is a work in progress. This is something that may take a lot of time and a lot of effort for him to grasp. I know, you're probably shaking your heads like he's a 10-year veteran. This is a Super Bowl champion. What are you talking about, mad scientist? Look, after last year's disaster, it's going to take a lot to reverse course. Manning is not going to put up the numbers that of a couple of years ago, or even 3 years ago. We're watching a quarterback who's probably going to be on the decline. When you talked about, and then you mentioned Victor Cruz. Yes, Victor Cruz will be the number one wide receiver. He'll have his catches. He'll have his touchdowns. Him, I would draft no problem. But then you look on the other side, and who do you got? You got Reuben Randall, still an unproven commodity. You got a rookie in Odell Beckham Jr., awesome at LSU, but still an unknown commodity. Jernigan, Manningham, can't stay healthy. Who's he throwing the ball to at tight end? still nobody knows. I think the saving grace in this whole thing is going to be the running back. And it's going to be Rashard Jennings. If there's a guy that you're going to look at this Giants office and, like, say, you know, he's going to have a really good year, I think it's Jennings. I really do. I think if there's a guy, the one person that will excel big time in this offense is Rashard Jennings. I'm looking at him at 1,100, 1,200 yards and double-digit touchdowns. When you have John Connor blocking for you up front and you have a backup in Andre Williams and Peyton Hillis, the bread and butter is going to be coming out of the backfield.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you as far as staying away from Eli Manning. Other than bench fodder, he's never been really fantasy relevant all that much. He had 1 year at 4,900 yards, but even at that, it was 29 touchdowns opposed to 16 picks. He's never put up big numbers. Always around anywhere between 3,500 and 4,000, and say 25 touchdowns and about, I don't know, 16 picks probably on average. I mean, that's nothing great at all, especially when you look back at some of the years when he had the Victor Cruz and Hakeem Nicks and so forth. They actually had Bennett there for a year or two. You know, I'm with you. The running game, I think, is going to be potent. I like Victor Cruz. Odell Beckham is intriguing, maybe is a late-round flyer to have on there. He throws enough to put up numbers for your wide receivers, but as far as your quarterback, I want no part of him. There's no doubt about that, and I do really like Rashard Jennings, no question.
Yeah, and keeping with Rashard Jennings, I actually had a chance to talk to him, Rick, as you know, after the Hall of Fame game, and got a chance to ask him his role in the passing game, because coming out of that game, you don't want to take a lot from the Hall of Fame game, I understand that, but he was targeted four times in that game. And, you know, it was Rashard's opinion. He was going to be a big part of the passing game, and that was going to be a big part of the game plan, is getting him the ball in space. So I think in a PPR format, Jennings is a guy that's being terribly undervalued and a guy you can get for a steal in the middle rounds.
Yeah, no question about that. Let's move on from the Giants. The time just keeps going so quickly. Let's go to Washington Redskins. And one guy that intrigues me probably more than anybody is RG3. He had that devastating knee injury. I think he was rushed back way too quickly, and I don't think he was, you know, treated all that well. And it may have been on his own volition, thinking he could play or whatever. But you saw a lot of tentative tendencies with him last year. He just didn't look like himself rushing the ball. And, you know, he certainly, they tried that little gimmick with him as a pocket passer. That's not his game. He's a year removed from that now, Nick. Do you see him moving into, I don't know, I'm not going to go elite status yet, but certainly quarterback one?
Bye. What do you call it? Take my money.
Yeah.
if this were an auction league, take my money. And the reason why is because, once again, a new system, but a system that would be tailor-made for him. Let's be honest. The Shanahan-Griffin year last year dust-up was just wow. That's all you could really say about it. Now he's fully healthy. You're a full year removed from that devastating knee injury. And you look at this team, and this is a guy that I know is going to throw for over 4,000 yards. He'll still run for about 600, 700 yards, too, with about like 6 to 8 touchdowns. Don't be surprised about that. Jay Gruden's not going to take the foot off the brake this time. No way. And especially when you have two dynamic wide receivers in DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, and a criminally underrated tight end in Jordan Reed. Yes, I'm getting on the Jordan Reed stump right now. A guy that I believe will vault himself into a top 10 tight end status after this season is over. And, of course, you got Alfred Morris in the backfield. Remember a couple of years ago, 1,700 yards. Don't throw the ball to him. That's all I ask. Just don't throw the ball to him. Just don't. He has no hands. What do you call it? We know that by the shadow of a doubt. But as far as pure running back goes, you're looking at 1,700 to me, 1,700 yards, 15 touchdowns for Alfred Morris. Just he's going to be below a lot of the running backs because he just doesn't catch the ball. And when he does, it's not poetry in motion. I'll just leave it like that. But getting back to Griffin, you know, he looks comfortable. He looks really comfortable in camp. He really does. He's grasping the offense very well. And I believe Gruden will give him a little bit of leeway on the leash. So not elite status, but dang close to it.
Yeah, I'm with you there. There are some concerns on the offense for me. Number one, Jordan Reed. I love the kid just like you do. What concerns me was that plethora of concussions that he had last year. I really worry about that. And yeah, I'm going to be monitoring that. I just really hope he can get past that. But my biggest concern, and Rick and I have talked about this off air many times, I'll tell you what, I can see DeSean Jackson being a real oil and water mixture with these guys. You know, RG3 has a bit of an ego. Pierre Garçon and him have a nice chemistry. And I can still see DeSean Jackson sitting by himself on the bench, Michael Vick trying to talk to him. He's looking away, didn't want anything to do with him. I don't like this guy. I've never bought into him. And I really hope that he doesn't cause more of a disturbance than what they got a bargain for, because the guy can really get it done. He had that career year last year, but he's never really been all that spectacular. And even after a career year, they decided to let him go anyway. So that's my biggest concern with them.
Yeah, I agree. I do agree with you on that. You know, there are a lot of risks here, but this is definitely more for me the risk. It's worth the risk because the reward is going to be awesome. I really feel that the Washington Redskins are going to be that bounce-back team this year. I don't think they're going to win the division, but I think they're going to give the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, a run for their money. I just think there's a lot of dynamic here that will, you know, that you're looking at a team that could probably score 450 points at the drop of a dime.
Right, and let's not forget in 2012, before he initially got injured, with his propensity to run the ball and his rushing touchdowns, RG3 was the number one fantasy quarterback for a good part of that 2012 season. But we got to keep moving here. Let's jump to the Dallas Cowboys. What do you say about the Cowboys? It comes down to, is Tony Romo's back healthy? You know, as goes Dez Bryant, I expect big things from DeMarco Murray. Jason Witten doing his thing. He's going to catch 100 balls. That's what Jason Witten does. It begins and ends with Tony Romo's back for me right now.
Yeah, and what do you call it? If there's a big red flag, and I mean gigantic, huge red flag right now, it's Tony Romo's back. You know, Romo gets a lot of guff from a lot of people, myself included, because he can't win the big one. But if you stay strictly to fantasy football, and I mean just strictly to fantasy football, you're definitely talking top 10, possibly top 5 quarterback in fantasy sports. But that back injury, my God, I am so scared that one bad hit and, you know, Dallas is going to suffer. I mean, no offense. Brandon Weeden or Caleb Henning as your backups, I have cold sweats just thinking about that, and drafting Tony Romo. If healthy, this is a team that you know that has to score points because that defense is so god-awful, it's not even funny. But they have Williams and Bryan and Witten and Murray and Escobar. You know, Escobar is your second tight end who I think is going to be who's a very good sleeper to definitely handcuff Witten. I mean, the weapons are there. It's just that, you know, back injuries. I'll throw a name out there, and again, I'm not comparing. Just think about the injury here for a second. Joe Montana. Just think about the injury for a second. So.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no question about that. And you look at Tony Romo, you know, he hasn't practiced, you know, more than two consecutive days. And, you know, before needing a rest and so forth, he's getting up there in age as far as that goes when you start dealing with a back. And, you know, it's really not the same thing where people say, well, you know, Peyton Manning had neck injury and he's older. But it wasn't quite the same. It, you know, I'm not sure the extent of Peyton Manning's, but I think they basically, like, fuse a vertebrae or something of that nature. But Romo, he has a propensity to injure that back. It's just been giving him troubles, and then they do the surgery, and I think it's just a little bit different. And, yeah, I agree with you. I like him as a fantasy quarterback, but, boy, that injury worries me to death. But I still love Dez Bryant this year. And DeMarco Murray, and I like what I see in Escobar, especially with Jason Witten getting older. And, you know, I think Terrence Williams could actually come into his own this year, too. You know, with Miles Austin out of the way, you don't even have to worry about that. Terrence Williams could be some good value this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking at Terrence Williams as a sleeper of the NFC East. I look at him at 80 receptions, over 1,000 yards, and about 6 to 8 touchdowns. I really feel that without Isaac Austin there now, it's his time to shine. So if there's a guy that I would definitely like have a big, gigantic circle over, it would be him.
All right, let's jump in. In the time we have left, time to jump to the Philadelphia Eagles. Obviously, LeSean McCoy is your number one or number two pick. Somewhere in there, no debate and not a lot to talk about. A lot of interesting players there, and let's start with Nick Foles. This is a guy right now I have ranked in my top 10 of quarterbacks. You hate to put a lot of weight on the first preseason game, but what separated him last year obviously was his not throwing interceptions and throws two and could have thrown a couple more. Do you have any fear that he regresses? Did he just catch a heater last year? Is this a guy that's perhaps being overdrafted right now?
No, first preseason game, obviously, that's going to be a lot of rust. But it's amazing how after 16 pass catchers, everybody in Philadelphia is already talking doom and gloom. Typical Eagles fans, what can I tell you? But what do you call it? Over the course of the season, Foles has total and complete command of the Chip Kelly pinball wizard-style offense. I would draft him exactly where he's getting drafted right now in the second and third round, and I wouldn't worry about it. The only thing that I would worry about is their wide receiver core, Jeremy Maclin coming back from the ACL injury, Riley Cooper. I mean, take away three games last year, what do you got? I think, what do you call it, McCoy's going to be used and pretty much used a lot this year. Don't be surprised if you have in the same backfield LeSean McCoy and Darren Sproles. Put them together in the backfield. Again, defensive coordinators are going to have nightmares trying to figure out who's going where, what, and when. Another guy to look out for this year, Zach Ertz. I mean, I really feel that this year is going to be a breakout year for him. I think he's definitely going to overtake Brent Celek if he hasn't done so already. And you're looking at a tight end that I believe will also go into top 10 category. Look for about 70 to 75 catches, about 1,000 yards, and 10 touchdowns from him this year.
Yeah, I think you're almost going to have McCoy, Sproles, and Ertz have big years because I'm not sold on Maclin yet. I mean, I like his talent, but he's already banged up a little bit. Riley Cooper, mid-grade to me, wide receiver. But you look at the rest of it, you know, Aurelius Ben, 0 catches last year. Josh Huff, none. Cunningham, none. You know, Maki, I mean, nobody has any experience. And, boy, I'll tell you what, Nick Foles is young. And if you lose any of these wide receivers, the veterans, between Cooper and Maclin, I think he is really going to have to rely on McCoy, Sproles, and either Celek or Ertz, whichever one. I'm agreeing with you that Ertz is going to overtake him. But I think they're going to have to really be his security blanket and put up some numbers.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, when I mentioned Sproles and McCoy in the back, both in the backfield. Remember, Darren Sproles used to catch all these passes from Drew Brees, and you saw what type of separation he could make from a linebacker. You put both McCoy and Sproles in the backfield. That can possibly open up the whole middle of the field for Ertz. It can open it up for Celek. It can even open it up for Cooper and Maclin. It's just, a lot of, a lot of things hinge on how Chip Kelly makes the adjustment, knowing he doesn't have the burner that he had last year in DeSean Jackson. Because remember, you're replacing 82 catches for 1,332 yards and 11 touchdowns. that's a lot to overcome for this wide receiving core.
So when you look at it from pure numbers from a fantasy standpoint, yeah, that's my question with Darren Sproles, and this is a guy that could be had for a song in your fantasy draft. Can he get back up to, with LeSean McCoy back there, can he get back up to that 70-catch plateau that made him a basically a low-end number two fantasy running back in a PPR format?
I don't think so. I think the max you're going to be looking at him is 50 to 60 because you're also going to be looking at the same thing from LeSean McCoy, 50 to 60. Now, remember, McCoy a couple of years ago had like 76 receptions coming out of the backfield. Put these two together, I mean, you're looking at 100 to 120 receptions out of the backfield. That's normally unheard of. But when you have those two types of weapons, you know, it's something that you can do. I expect to see a lot of wheel routes coming out of their backfield, you know, running some wheel posts and stuff like that, in which they're going to get behind the linebackers. And, you know, safeties are not going to know which way to go, forward or backward. Do you take the deep route or do you take the wheel route? It's going to be really scary for a defensive coordinator to know who's where, when, and what. So I'm, what do you call, going back to what you said about Sproles, 75? No. 50 to 60? Yes.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Okay. We're running out of time, Nick, before we let you go and before you tell us where you're at again. Who do you like in this division? Just not fantasy-wise, who do you think is going to take it this year? Philadelphia, Washington, Dallas, or New York?
Philadelphia Eagles will go 10-6 and take the division, and the Washington Redskins will finish 10-6 in a tie, but the head-to-head will probably go to Philadelphia. Washington will make the wild card. Dallas will go 8-8, and the Giants... Yeah, either 8-8 or 7-9.
And Tom Coughlin's head will literally pop off his shoulders. Well, Nick. We've run over time here. Why don't you take one more second, tell everybody where they can find you.
You could find me every Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Mad Scientist Sports Lab. It's usually myself and one of my lovely assistants, either Pamela Michelle or Sharona Fabulosa. You could also find me guesting on a bunch of podcasts on Twitter. I'm at NAF_TSCRN, and look for us at TSCRN for the Sports Chronicles Radio Network Twitter handle as well. And just wanted to say to the Ricks, thank you so much for allowing me back after 150-some-odd episodes. So it's wow, I can't believe it's been that long. But what do you call it? This was a great time, and I mean – Please invite me back a little bit sooner than later.
It'll be no more than 120 episodes next time, Nick, I promise. No, we're going to do it a lot sooner. This was great. We appreciate you taking the time out. We'll talk to you again real soon.
No problem. Have a good night.
You too.
Thanks, Nick.
All right, Nick Piccirelli, a big network. What do we have, Rick? The NGC Sports LLC.
Yes,
Nick doing big things.
I guess
check him out.
Yeah, the Sports Chronicle Network merged up, I believe. What was it with the National Gridiron Network,
right?
I believe, yeah.
So check them out all over Blog Talk.
Definitely.
All over the web. So, Rick, we have blown over time, and I don't imagine you're going to pay me any overtime, so I want to get out of here.
Well, Mikel had taken the night off, so I've been really holding the fort down.
Well, and you've done a heck of a job, too.
I appreciate that.
That's it. We will be back in our normal Wednesday time slot next week, Wednesday, 7 p.m. Check us out at AsylumFantasyFootball.com, AsylumFantasySports.com.
Keep the questions coming. I mean, they're starting to come in. I know everybody is answering questions, but you want answers, come to the asylum.
That's right.
You know, you got the mad scientists in the lab. You got the freaks over here in the asylum. We'll steer you right. Send your questions to AsylumFantasySports.com, AsylumFootball@gmail.com.
Wouldn't steer you wrong. Check us out if you're in the New York area, channel 147 on Cablevision, Fantasy Sports Network. You can hear us there. You can also hear that show, FantasySportsNetwork.com, on Sundays. All kind of time slots on Sunday.
And it won't be too much longer. You'll be watching us on Fantasy Sports Network.
So you want to talk about faces for radio. If you got rats, you need to get out of your basement, put it on there in just a few weeks. That's it. We'll see you next week.
Yes, indeed. So this is Fleeger and Briggs from the Asylum.
We'll see you.
Take care.
You're not going to listen to Big Smo, Rick?
Oh, yeah. Me and Big Smo tight.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I like Big Smo.
You're not even listening. do it.
Oh, yeah.
I hate when you do that. I bring in new music, so I want to get your reaction, and you take your headphones
off. You
got it. Off. Your headphones are off.
I love Big Smo.
You don't know what a Big Smo
is.
Oh,
yeah. Me and Big Smo go watch a game later on. Yeah.
Good news. This is, they call it hick hop, Rick.
Hick hop.
Hick hop.
Oh, okay.
He's a country rapper.
Yeah.
Hip-hop.
Didn't Kid Rock sort of do that for a little bit?
Yeah. Well, he started out as a rapper.
Right.
And then he became buddies with Hank Williams Jr., so he thought he was country.
Hank actually turned him on to some music.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
There we go.
Now it's Big Smo doing the hick hop. That's what it's all about.
I like hick hop. Hick hop. Hick hop. Sound like Wild Bill Hickok. Okay, there we go.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah. Ain't no reason
to go. All right, and there goes the headphones again. Pisses me off. Been working so hard for the last 9 months. Studio to the bus, from the bus to the stage, back to the bus. Wake up next day, the same thing. Send us back to the kitchen, cooking up something delicious. 180 proof in them switches. One of them nights where anything goes. Got a whole lot of time, a little something to blow. Our minds go high. They got a whole lot of shine, and they're listening to smoke. What could be wrong with that? Yeah, this is for them late night country boys pushing for the paper. Sun up to sun down, taking straight with no chaser. I like when people call money paper, chasing that paper. I like that. That's what we're doing. Advertise on the show, we're chasing that paper.
Gold, silk.
Yeah, I like the paper.
Okay.
I don't think anybody's going to pay us in gold. It's not 1842 anymore. We will advertise your website for 2 gold shekels.
What a shekel.
I don't know. I'd like a couple. Smo almost done here. Yep, we're going to get out of here. Take care.